Now, last Sunday morning, we began this series on the Lord's Supper, and we began as we thought together about the way that Jesus taught us to address God, our Father in heaven. Now, we're going to continue to look at the Lord's Prayer, and I want to ask you to turn with me once again to the prayer that's found in Matthew chapter 6. And I want to read Matthew 6, 9 through 13, where Matthew has captured the essence of what Jesus taught as he gave us a guideline for praying. "This then," Jesus said, "is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I heard a story of a few years ago, but it has stuck with me, and I'm not so sure why, but I'm calling it to mind now with you. It's a story of a guy who dealt with antiquities. And he found himself in an antique store full of junk in San Francisco. And he looked down, and on the floor was a cat that was drinking milk out of a saucer. And he observed that, and he thought, well, what's happening here? He noticed that the saucer was not an ordinary saucer, but he recognized it as something that was very valuable, straight out of the Ming Dynasty in China. And yet there that was, filled with milk, and a cat drinking from it. And the guy thought, well, this is an opportunity for me to get my hands on something that I would just love to have because this guy doesn't recognize its worth. And so he went and he found the proprietor of the establishment and said, you know, that's a very nice cat that you have had. And I'm looking for a cat, and I haven't seen one just like that, and it struck my fancy. I'll give you $100 for your cat. And the proprietor said, well, you know what? The cat's not worth that much money, and I'm kind of attached to it. Well, I'll give you $100 for it. And he produced out of his wallet a $100 bill. And the proprietor said, well, no. I don't want to take advantage of you. No, I don't think so. I like the cat. And the man stuffed the $100 bill in the proprietor's hands and said, I'll take the cat. So he went down and he scooped up the cat. And then he said, oh, by the way, I need something to feed my cat with, so I'll give you $10 for that saucer. And the proprietor of the store said, no, that's not for sale. That's actually something that's worth a lot of money. It's straight from the Ming Dynasty in China. And it's a funny thing, he said. Ever since I started putting milk in that saucer, I've sold 17 cats. We all assign worth to things, don't we? Particularly in financial terms. We assign worth to things, but people don't always recognize that worth. And that's particularly true when it comes to God and the worth of God in people's minds. We live in a world where his name gets frequently spoken of in very casual terms, almost flippantly, in thoughtless and empty ways, sometimes even blatantly profaned. You may know what I mean because you hear it, we hear it on television, we hear it at the movies, you can hear it at the grocery store, you can hear it in an airplane, you hear it in any number of places where you overhear people talk. God's name is used So often it seems as an expression of fear or as an expression of surprise or an expression of amazement. Perhaps even more frequently, we hear it when people use it to express exasperation or anger or frustration. Do you know what profanity does? It says something about a person's maturity. And it says something about a person's self-control. You know immediately that they have little understanding or recognition or appreciation for who God is and what he's done. So Jesus says, when you pray, make the recognition of God's worth your first concern. And so the very first petition after addressing God the Father is the concern that God's name is lifted up and recognized for all of its worth, is the concern that his name is hallowed and that his preeminent worth is recognized by all. Now, the word halo is not a word that we use very often today, and so it's sometimes not really understood very well. It means holy. It means sacred. We sometimes talk about the hallowed halls of Ivy, and that may connotate a certain university in your mind, or the hallowed ground of a battlefield where soldiers have died defending our country. To hallow something is to treat something as sacred, holy, and worthy of a highest veneration and deep respect. And nothing, says Jesus, is more worthy of the highest veneration and the highest respect and reverence than the name of God. Now, in our culture, we don't take names with the same kind of seriousness that the Jewish people in Jesus' day and earlier took on. In our culture, we name our babies names. We give them names because we like the sound of the names. We pay attention to the meaning of the name, but really not all that much. But in the Jewish culture, names represented the hope for character of a person. And so the meaning of the name came to be very important to them. In the Jewish culture, we need to understand that there was a deep reverence for God. And because of that, they would never dare to use God's name. More often, they would use the word Lord when they wanted to speak of God or when they wanted to address them, because God, the name of God, Jehovah, and its various forms in Hebrew, was considered to be too sacred to speak. As a matter of fact, scribes that were given the assignment of copying the words of the Hebrew Bible before writing the name Jehovah, they would get up and they would take a bath. They would go through a ritual cleansing. They would put on a new set of clothes. They would take a new pen, and with fear and trembling, they would write the name. They would write out the name of God, and then when they were finished, they would take off those new clothes and they would burn them along with the pen that they had used to write God's name for any length of time. So you can understand why last week I said it was scandalous for a Jew to address God in a deeply personal and intimate way, as Jesus had suggested when he said, "Our Father," and when he spoke of his Abba relationship with his Father, and when he and others who followed him, the Apostle Paul, for instance, spoke of and encouraged us to use and think of God as Abba, a word that refers to a tender and loving relationship. I used the word daddy last week. So That's what Jesus was saying. He invites us to think of God as our tender and loving daddy. But now, this morning, not without recognizing that God is also the holy, the righteous, the almighty creator, and is such to be held in highest esteem and deeply revered. So our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What I want us to see here is that there's this balance between intimacy on the one hand and a profound sense of awe on the other hand. He is daddy and we are his children. He invites us into this deeply personal and intimate and tender, loving relationship with him. But at the same time, he is the God of the universe who sits on the seat of power and authority, and he is worthy of our deepest respect and awe. And the fact that he's the transcendent creator, holy and mighty, ruler of the universe, and yet he invites us to crawl up into his lap, as it were, and think of himself and think of him as our Father in heaven, our tender, loving Father in heaven, really makes this all the more astonishing. That the same God whom the Jewish scribes could not bear to write his name without fear and trembling, this same God whose name is to be hallowed in all of the universe by all people is also our loving and tender dad. Now, when we pray, hallowed be your name, we are praying, may your righteousness and may your character be seen by all the world. May your unmatched worth be acknowledged by all. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May the entire universe give you honor and the respect that is your rightful due. Now, let me just stop here and make one simple observation with you, and that is this. No prayer could be more appropriate in this world of ours. For if one thing is certain today, it is that God's name is not hallowed in so many ways and in so many places. God's name is not hallowed when crack cocaine is sold like candy on the street corners, when women and men are reduced to sexual objects on computer screens, when poverty in our country is ignored, when human trafficking is a deep concern in so many cities and countries around the world. God's name is not honored when mass shootings regularly occur in our country. It is not honored when it is a rare day that we don't hear of another story of abuse and exploitation. God's name is not hallowed when we value the approval of others more than the approval of God, when we gossip about the failure of others rather than mourning over our own failures and sins. God's name is not hallowed when the Bible becomes a closed book because the truth, after all, is best determined by each one of us. Or so says the culture in which we live. And you have to ask yourself with me, what would the world be like for God's name to be hallowed by all in this world? What kind of a world would this be? Certainly, it would look very different. Even if every one of the millions of people who recite this prayer every day, if everyone who prayed these words, hallowed be your name, would actually live them out, not merely recite them, this world would look a little differently. I don't know if you know what I'm getting at. But you cannot authentically pray, "Hallowed be your name," without saying, "Hallowed be your name in my life. Hallowed be your name in my life also, and in my heart also. Lord God, may your righteous and holy character be seen first of all in me. Help me to live in such a way that your name is lifted up, that your name is honored in my life, that your name is made great in my life." And how is his name made great in our lives? Well, not only with what we say, but more importantly, in the way we live our lives, because our lives authenticate and give credibility to what flows from our lips. And so to pray this prayer and really mean it is to say, "I dedicate my life and every part of my life to your honor and to your glory, O God. Help me to live this day and every day in a way that you can sign your name to the day when I go to bed at night." And that's the essence of what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." So let me ask you the question that I ask myself: are you living your life in such a way that it honors God? Are you living your life in such a way that it hallows his name? Is God honored? Is he glorified through your thoughts and through your attitudes and through your speech and through your life, your actions? Ray Pritchard, author and pastor, writes this. He says, "All too often we pray, 'Hallowed be your name,' but not in my business, but not in my finances, but not in my friendships, but not in my thought life, or any other area of our life that we want to hang on to." And God says, "Look, it's all or nothing." And we say, "Look, it's just way too difficult. Look, this is who I am." If you know what Ray Pritchard is talking about, when you come to one of those difficult areas of your life where you just want to hang on to it, ask yourself, can God sign his name to your day when you go to bed at night? Now, here's the second question. Are you living your life in such a way that it draws other people to recognize God's matchless worth? Are you living your life in such a way that it increases his reputation in the world around you? Are you living your life in such a way that it draws others to recognize the worth and the value of God? And to help us get at this, let's just imagine for a moment that people around you, or maybe we'll just say someone, that someone around you, the only way that that someone could learn anything about Jesus Christ is from watching you and observing the way you live your life. If people had to decide what Christ was like based on what they saw in you, As one who identifies yourself as a Christ follower, what would they learn about Christ? I ask this question because you and I represent the character and the love of God through Jesus Christ to the watching world around us. And the world does watch. And they're making their observations all of the time. A couple of years ago, I told you the story of a soldier in the army of Alexander the Great who was brought before Alexander to explain why he had deserted his post in the heat of the battle. And Alexander the Great said, "Soldier, what is your name?" And he said, "My name is Alexander, sir." And Alexander the Great paused, and then he looked at him in his eyes and he said, "I'll give you three choices. You either fight, or you get out of my army, or you change your name. But I will not have a soldier bearing my name deserting his post." And as Christians, we bear the name of Christ. His reputation in the world rests on us. What view of Christ, what view of God do we offer to others? Because the reality is the way that we live our lives communicates a great deal about who God is, about who this Jesus is, whose name we bear. So let me ask you, does your life honor God and hallow His name? Does your life draw others to recognize His matchless worth? Our Father in heaven, Jesus taught, hallowed be your name. In all the world, but in my life and your life, first of all. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the wonderful ways that your name is being lifted up here and the way that your name is being honored here by those seated around me this morning in pure hearts and in pure speech and in worship and in praise, in Christ-like living, in selfless acts of service performed in your name. What an encouragement that is to me and my desire to glorify your name in my life. And Lord, where we have failed to honor you, we seek your forgiveness. And where we have dragged your name down and made it difficult for a watching world to recognize your matchless worth, we are deeply sorry. Lord, help us to build our lives and to live our lives in such a way that people are drawn to you so that your name may be revered and hallowed and honored by all. Amen.